Welcome to episode 449 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Acts 12 verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. The book of Acts is in many ways a blueprint, a manual for how to do church. Prayer is an excellent example. Prayer is mentioned in one form or another 10 times in Matthew, 12 times in Mark, and 5 times in John. But Luke mentions it 19 times in his gospel and 32 times in Acts. God acts in response to his people's prayers. In Acts 1 verses 24 to 26, we see Peter and the other disciples praying before choosing Matthias to be an apostle to replace Judas Iscariot. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Similarly, we see the disciples praying in Acts 6, verses 3 to 7, to identify 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom they can appoint as deacons in the early church. In Acts 14, verse 23, we see Paul and Barnabas praying for the local church leaders, elders, in places where they had established new churches among the Gentiles. The lesson: pray before choosing your leaders. Pray before giving people important assignments. In Acts 2, verse 42, we see that the people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In Acts 4, verses 24 to 31, we see the believers praying after Peter and John were released from detention. Note verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Pray before, during, and after persecution. Prayer confers boldness. In Acts 9, verses 40 to 42, we see Peter praying over the body of Tabitha, called Dorcas in Greek, a woman who served many with her acts of kindness and who suddenly became ill and died. The lesson: pray for the sick. Pray for the Lord to do miracles in our lives. In Acts 12, verse 12, we see the believers praying for Peter to be released from imprisonment. We should pray for those who are imprisoned literally and figuratively. We should pray for deliverance. We should pray for freedom. We should pray for the restoration of those who have been taken away from us. In Acts 13, verses 1 to 3, we see the believers at the church of Antioch praying before setting aside the first missions church planting team, led by Paul and Barnabas. In Acts 16, verse 25, we find Paul and Silas praying in a Philippian jail. And not only are they praying, but they're also singing hymns and praising God. In Acts 20, verse 36, we see Paul praying when departing from a church he had planted. Let us look at verses 35 to 36. "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all." Pray for others. Pray when you're parting company from others, especially those who are members of the household of faith. In Acts 21, verse 5, we see the disciples in Tyre praying for Paul as he sets off to Jerusalem, about to undertake a dangerous mission. It is almost certain that he will be imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. Pray for those who are called to service. Pray for those who face danger and uncertainty. In Acts 22, verse 17, we see Paul standing on the temple steps addressing a Jewish crowd. He tells them something that had happened about 20 years before, when he had been a follower of Jesus for 2 or 3 years. He talks about going to the temple in Jerusalem to pray, both as an act of worship and as a way to receive guidance from the Lord. That ought to be true of us also. In Acts 28, verse 8, we find Paul shipwrecked on the island of Malta. The father of the chief official of the island is sick with fever and dysentery. Paul prays for the sick man. We see that often in the early church, they pray and fast. They pray and sing hymns. They pray and lay hands on those for whom they're praying. They pray and study the scriptures. and contemplate the apostles' doctrine. In Acts 1, verse 14, note the following. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. This is how the King James Version puts the first half of this verse. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. This is noteworthy prayer. They all pray and they all continue in prayer and supplication. The idea of supplication is a sense of desperation and earnestness in prayer. And so the early church does not just pray, they cry out in desperation. The church prays for its leaders, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, sinners to repent, missionary work, physical safety, healing. The church prays in times of crisis, when making decisions, when traveling, in the normal everyday course of living. The early church, whether we're talking about the whole congregation, the apostles, others in leadership, Gentiles like the Roman centurion Cornelius, men and women, they all pray. And what do we see as a result of prayer? In Acts 4, verse 31, the disciples were able to speak the word of God with boldness. They were able to face oppression and prevail. In Acts 6, verse 7, there was growth in their number. In Acts 9, verses 41 to 42, Tabitha, who was once dead, is restored to life, and this leads to more church growth. In Acts 12, verse 12, Peter is released and reunited with the believers. In Acts 16, verses 25 to 34, there is a great earthquake that frees Paul and Barnabas from their shackles and unlocks the door to their prison cell. But even more significant, they're able to have such a positive witness that the Philippian jailer and his household are won to Christ. In Acts 28, we see Paul's prayer in Malta for the healing of an island official's father, not only leading to that man's healing, but leading to the healing of many who are sick on the island. This prayer and its result provides an opening for God to show himself to be strong and to reveal himself to those who had no previous knowledge of him. When the church prays, when God's people pray, the Holy Spirit is poured out in power. The earth literally moves. There is healing, miraculous release, life restored from death, and the gospel is advanced. We see the early Christian church growing by leaps and bounds, starting with perhaps a few dozen, then growing by tens of thousands over the next century. There are more than 3 million adherents in less than three centuries. This is a work of the Holy Spirit, activated by prayer. When we pray, we receive power. When we pray, we receive providence. When we pray, we receive protection. When we pray, we receive peace. When we pray, we receive divinely inspired and enabled plans. When we pray, we receive perspective. This was true for the early believers. It can also be true for us today. Father, help us to be earnest in our prayer as individuals and as a church. May your prayers give us access to power and wisdom and guidance. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.